This morning I get to introduce you to a friend of mine. Ken and I have known each other for probably 15 years, I would think, something like that. We've had different experiences together. Ken and I, together back in Ohio, ran a church camp for 4 or 5 years during the summers as co-directors. Ken has served in pastoral ministry. Most recently, he served out at the Navajo Mission, the Brethren in Christ Navajo Mission in New Mexico. And now most recently has enjoyed being around his grandchildren. I joke with Ken a little bit. They went out to serve at the Navajo Mission for 6 months and stayed for 9 years. But that's just the heart that Ken has. He has a heart for people. And he got there and realized that there was a great need for ministry there. And 6 months turned to 9 years. So, Ken, I'm going to invite you to come join me up front. I want to pray with you. And then Ken's going to share with us this morning on the topic of the theme of love. Let me pray with you, brother. Lord God, I come to you and I thank you so much for Ken. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his commitment to serving you. Heavenly Father, help us all to have that kind of a heart for people, that we're willing to go for 6 months, but then stay for 9 years. Lord God, help us to have a care and a concern for people, a love for people, that we are willing to change our plans and our lives in order to serve them. For this morning, Lord God, as Ken now presents to us from your word, I would pray that you will just bless his words, that you will allow each one of us to hear from you what it is that you choose to speak through Ken this morning. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Well, it is good to be here. I didn't think I was old until a young lady came over and introduced herself as Audrey, who I used to hold as a little baby. Time marches on, doesn't it? I was going to tell a funny Dustin story, but okay, yeah, I will. I just remembered it. When we co-managed the Memorial Holiness Camp, we had a unique management style. If somebody went to Dustin and said, we got this problem, Dustin would say, have you told Ken? And, well, you need to talk to Ken. Well, then they'd come talk to me, and I'd say, well, have you talked to Dustin? Well, yeah, we did. Well, then Dustin and I will talk about it later. And there was never any real issues, anything that we could fix. Remember? Anyways, and the fact that we both have Canadian blood. I'm going to be talking to you about 5 things I've figured out about love. But first, how many of you regularly or routinely have to ride an elevator? Nobody rides an elevator? Oh, these are going to die. Because I have some things to do in an elevator. Stand silent and motionless in the corner, facing the wall, without ever getting off. You got to chuckle. Crack open your purse or your briefcase, and while looking inside, say, got enough air in there? Drop a pen or something and wait for someone to bend over to pick it up and then scream, that's mine! That's mine! I'm dying up here, hon. Place a box in a corner, and when someone gets on, ask them if they can hear it ticking. Stare and grin and another passenger for a while, then announce, "I have new socks on." Or this one, my favorite. "Dress up as the devil, horns and pitchfork, and when others get on, ask, 'Going down?'" Five things I've figured out about love. Love is the only power that can turn enemies into friends. Love is the only power that can turn enemies into friends. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 to 13, where Paul writes, "As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Sometimes I think that we who grew up in the church came to understand this very early in our lives, when our grandmothers or grandfathers or a Sunday school teacher taught us this song: "Jesus loves the little children, all the children in the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus cares for the little children, all the children of the world. Black and yellow, red and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus cares for all the children of the world. Jesus came to save the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. Jesus cares for all the children of the world." That is profoundly simple truth, that Jesus loves the little children, that Jesus loves everyone. Everyone, red or yellow, black or white. Consider this. An Armenian nurse had been held captive along with her brother by the Turks. Her brother was killed by a Turkish soldier. Somehow she escaped and later served as a nurse in a military hospital. One day, she was stunned to find that the same man who had killed her brother had been captured and brought wounded to the hospital where she worked. Something within her cried out, "Vengeance! Vengeance! Vengeance!" But a stronger voice called for her to love, love, love. She nursed the man back to health, and recuperating, the soldier asked her, "Why didn't you let me die?" Her answer, "I am a follower of Jesus who said, 'Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you.' Love is the only power that can turn enemies into friends." Number two. Well, that didn't work. I tried to push my glasses up through the... What a world we live in, isn't it? Everybody's out there in masks. I'm sitting up with a shield on. What a world. Number two, love is not something you lose. It's something you forsake. Revelations chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet this I hold against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Forsake means to quit or to leave entirely, to abandon or desert, to give up on or renounce. See, we can do all kinds of work for Jesus Christ. We can be involved in all kinds of different ministries, reaching out to people. But we can lose our commitment to loving Jesus. In fact, I'd argue that it is a test of commitment to love Jesus. It is a test of our commitment to love Jesus. See, the question is not whether or not we fall in love with Jesus. The question is whether we stay in love with Jesus day after day, week after week, year after year. Jesus will always love us. Jesus will always be committed to us. Always. The real question is, will we keep our commitment to him? Here's the deal. If you are careless or cavalier at work, stuff piles up and there's too much to do. If we are careless with dirty dishes, the dishes don't get cleaned, and pretty soon you're eating out of boxes that you went out to buy food. If we are careless with our spiritual relationship, then that relationship suffers. Love is not something you lose. It is something you forsake. Number three, love is not something you talk about. It's something you do. In Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul wrote these words: "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, whether circumcision or non-circumcision has any value, the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in to keep you from obeying the truth? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." So the question is, how do we do love? How do we do love? Love is silence when our words would hurt. Love is patience when a friend or neighbor is snippy. Love is deafness when a scandal or gossip flows. Love is promptness and courage when duty calls. The only thing that matters, that counts, is faith expressing itself through love. Love is not something you talk about. It is something you do. I have a video clip here from a very famous movie from my generation. Messed up a whole bunch of people in my generation. But
I forgot my key.
Jenny, I'm sorry.
Don't. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Oliver, I want to help.
Jenny's dead.
I'm sorry.
Love? Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Love means never having to say you're sorry. Baloney. Baloney. Or if that's not strong enough for you, I will quote my grandfather, horse manure. Love means never having to say you're sorry? Uh-uh. Love is learning how to say I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Can you forgive me? Of all questions, this one seems the most difficult because we are admitting that we are or were wrong. We are vulnerable in humbling ourselves, and we have no control over how the offended person will respond. Seeking forgiveness verbally sends the message that we truly want the relationship to be healed. Seeking forgiveness verbally sends the message that we recognize we did something wrong, and that we are willing to put the future of that relationship in the hands of the person offended. Being a man, I have learned how to say I'm sorry. And a couple of these here examples are, I imagine a lot of husbands will relate to this. I am truly sorry for how I spoke to you. I can see that my words hurt you, even if it was not my intention. I obviously was not thinking well at the time. While it was not my intention, it hurt you. While it was not my intention to hurt you, I did. I am so sorry. Or how about this one? Imagine husbands say this a lot of times. I promised you that I would do something before you came home, and I obviously dropped the ball and did not do it. I am sorry. Love is learning how to say I'm sorry. And we learn how to say I'm sorry by seeing ourselves through the eyes of the person we've offended. Number five. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Paul was absolutely clear in Romans chapter 8 when he wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the past, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The phrase, love of God, love of God, refers not to our love for God, but to God's love for us. This fact is clear in verse 37, which says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In fact, the context of this entire passage focuses on what God and Christ do rather than what we do. God spared not his own son. God justifies us. Christ died, rose, and intercedes on our behalf. Therefore, the love from which nothing will be able to separate us is God's love. Actually, God and Christ are identified in this section. Christ's love and God's love are spoken of in interchangeable terms. In verse 35, Paul asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In verse 39, he says that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16 really does say it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him will not die, will have eternal life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to close this with the words from Paul in his great letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. The characteristics of love. And you've heard them all. You've heard this before. But I'd invite you to close your eyes as I read this passage and imagine how you can apply these principles of love a little more strongly each day. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Do we get that? Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Apply just those principles of love in your relationships a little stronger, a little harder. Remember those words when you're having an argument over something inanely stupid, something that will be forgotten tomorrow. But in that moment when eagles are up and all that, remember that love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are mindful of the great love that you have for us. The love that you poured out at Calvary. The love that you pour into each of our hearts and our lives. And Father, when you look upon us, we know that you see us through the filter of your love. And we thank you for that love. Help each one of us. Help each one of us to be better conduits of your love to others. Help each married couple be better conduits of your love to each other. We know that you do great and marvelous and wonderful things, that you hear each of our prayers. And in this moment, Lord, we cry out to you together in thanksgiving for your love, in gratitude for your love, but also asking you to help us love the way you first loved us. And remember all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.